everybody, welcome to Summer Vibes. We're kicking off a brand new teaching series here. And with Summer Vibes, we're talking about how the summer is a different time. In fact, everybody loves summer because the days are longer, you get to go to the beach. And here at Echo, we're making the most of the summer. In fact, today as we kick off this series, you're gonna have the privilege of hearing from Pastor Philip Pattison. He's the leader of Foster the Bay. But before he comes, I wanna make sure you know about our brand new teaching series kicking off on Sunday, July 14th. At the Movies is one of the most anticipated message series of the year because we take some of the biggest blockbusters and we unpack the themes of those movies, we apply them to our personal lives, and we even look at what the Bible says about those themes. It's also a great series to bring a friend with you because for every first-time guest throughout the series, they're gonna get a free movie ticket. So I wanna encourage you to mark your calendars and start thinking about who you're going to be bringing with you. And let's pray together that God uses that series in a very powerful way to change lives. Now, for today's message, as Pastor Philip comes, you need to know that he is an amazing leader, an incredible teacher. What he is doing through Foster the Bay is unbelievable. In fact, we partner together with this ministry, and together we're seeing hundreds of children connected into families in our church and in our community around other churches in the area to find loving homes. And God is using you to help make that happen through your generosity and praying for this ministry. And today he's going to talk to us about how do we recreate. How do we recreate our soul, recreate at a soul level? How do we recreate physically during the summer? So I'm gonna encourage you, lean in, and let's put our hands together for Pastor Philip Pattison as he comes to the stage.
What's up, Echo Church? It's great to be with you all today. Let me say a big welcome to all of our campuses, to those of you who are joining us online. So glad you're here. As Pastor Andy said, my name is Philip Pattison. And I lead a movement here called Foster the Bay, and Foster the Bay is all about providing loving homes for children in foster care. One of my favorite things about Foster the Bay, though, is that we're not just doing that right here at Echo Church. We have a hope at Echo that what God stirs up and what God creates right here in our local community, that it would actually go beyond our walls and would actually echo out into the Bay Area and beyond. Like, that's our hope as a church. And that's exactly what we've been seeing God do through Foster the Bay. It's been super fun to be a part of. So we're not just raising up families to engage vulnerable children right here at Echo, but we're now partnering with dozens of churches across the Bay Area. In fact, as of today, we're now in partnership with 78 churches in the Bay Area and 10 different government and private agencies to care for these kiddos. And that's awesome. And we could totally clap for that. And I'm not saying that so you give me a big pat on the back or you applaud. I'm saying that because I want to take a moment to honor you. This would not be possible without the investment of this church. Many of you have gotten involved in significant ways. Many of you are giving generously towards Echo, which enables Echo to put funding towards Foster the Bay. And so I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Lives are being changed as a result of what you're doing through this church. So thank you so much. Now, that being said, let's dive into today. We got a lot to talk about. All right. So we're kicking off a new teaching series called Summer Vibes. And throughout this series, the next few weeks, we're going to be leaning into some of the unique invitations that summer has for each one of us, okay? So if you take a step back and you look at the different rhythms and the seasons of life, you're gonna see that there are like unique invitations that each season brings. So like, for example, in January, every January, there's something in most of us anyway, that like there's this like internal urge to like set goals and to create new plans, right? To have a fresh start. Something every January, it happens every year, okay? What do we do in the spring? We clean, thank you. Yes, in North San Jose, they got it. Right, we clean. That's what we do in the springtime, right? Because we see beauty all around us. There's something about spring like where we want to create order out of chaos. We want to bring beauty. We see it in nature, and therefore we try to do the same thing right in our own home and spaces. So summer, in the same way, has some unique invitations offered to us that we can embrace. And so we're going to do that the next few weeks. And so today, I want to talk about the first invitation, and that is an invitation this summer to find rest. Okay, summer is a great time to find rest. But here's the deal. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to have a conversation about how you can make the most out of your summer road trip. We're not going to talk about which beaches to visit. We're not going to, like, all those things are important. That's great. You'd be a fool to not take advantage of longer days and your kids being out of school, right? So Do those things, right? Take your family on a road trip. Skip work one day and go lay out on the beach, right? Eat lots of good food, drink lots of good wine, read lots of good books, take your family on a trip. Do all those things. Those things are all, they all have their place. But what I want to talk about today, what I want to offer you today is an invitation into a deeper rest, a rest that will not just last you for a couple of days or even a couple of months. What I want to share with you today is an invitation from God's word to you to a rest that will sustain you in every season and in every circumstance of life, okay? My hope and my prayer today is that you would, that all of us together, all of our campuses, that we our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be open to receiving this unbelievable invitation to rest. So if you have a Bible with you, why don't you open it up? Psalm chapter 23 is where we're going to be today. Psalms 23. If you don't have a Bible with you, no worries. You can follow up here on the screen. But let me just begin our time by reading through the chapter in its entirety. Don't get scared. It's 6 verses long, okay? But I'm going to read through the 6 verses, and then we'll unpack what they have for us this summer. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so I'm pretty confident that you've heard this chapter before. You've heard at least bits and pieces. If you grew up in church like I did, you've heard this 1,000 times. Your mom had it crocheted, or your grandma had it crocheted somewhere in her house. Somewhere. Like you've seen it, you've heard it. If you are not, you know, if you didn't grow up in church, maybe this is all new to you. I'm pretty confident you've still heard it. You've heard it at a funeral. You've heard it on TV. Maybe it was Coolio that introduced it to you. How many of you thought that? I actually, every time I read this, I use that cadence. I say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can't help it. So, but by the way, if you're between the ages of like 25 to 45, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're outside of that, this reference is completely... For those of you, though, who get it, it's now stuck in your head, all right? Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone, right? All day long, that's what's going to be going through your mind. Anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. I'm pretty confident that you've heard this passage, but here's the deal. Because of that, like, that's beautiful. This is probably the most famous passage in the entire Bible, okay? So in one sense, it's great. There's a reason why it's famous. It's beautiful. In another sense, though, it's dangerous. We've heard it so many times, because sometimes when you hear the same thing over and over and over again, it has the potential at least to lose its potency. Familiarity breeds contempt, right? So here has been my prayer for this week, is that God might work in a way that only he can, that he might give us the eyes and the heart to see afresh the wonder of the invitation that he's giving to us here in Psalm 23. So I want to share with you 3 promises that can give you deep, deep rest this summer and on into your life. Three promises, okay? Here's the first promise in Psalm 23. Jesus gives us the peace to stop. Jesus gives us the peace to stop. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I have everything that I need. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Jesus gives us the peace to stop. And that's great news, isn't it? Because as we all know, we live in probably the busiest, most workaholic culture in the history of the world. There's a few reasons to that, of course, like that you can very quickly point to. And obviously, a big part of that is technology, right? Work used to be something that you would drive to downtown and then you would leave at the end of the day. It doesn't work that way anymore. You wake up with it. You go to sleep with it. It's in the pocket at all times, or it's in the palm of your hand. But it's not just that it's available all the time. It's also the accessibility of technology has also changed things, hasn't it? Right? Because so many more people have access to technology, there's a lot more people competing with you at what you do, which means for you to stay ahead or at least stay competitive, you have to work faster and harder just to keep up with everyone. It's not just work, though. I mean, we know social media like gives us these visions of beauty and success that are all but unattainable. And it's just on the daily reminding us that we're falling behind, right? So technology plays a role, but it's not the only thing to blame. There's also a cultural factor that we should consider. You know, in traditional societies around the world, like traditional societies, you typically found your sense of identity, your sense of value, from being a part of the community. Okay, so you would find your sense of identity or value because you are a son of so-and-so or a daughter of so-and-so, or you are a neighbor, you are a community, you are part of the tribe. That's where you got your sense of identity from. We don't live in a traditional society, do we? We live in perhaps the most individualistic society in the history of the world. So we have proudly like broken those chains, like broken the chains of those like assigned social roles. This is where I fit in the tribe. And instead, like we're now free to be whoever we want to be. We're really proud of that. Like that's literally the theme of every Disney movie. That's the theme. Like we're free now to be whomever we want to be. I've broken off those chains. Okay, but with that, since our sense of identity no longer comes from being a part of the tribe, instead, now it's up to you as the individual to create it. You don't have to build it. You have to achieve it. You have to earn it. And it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. That's why we are the most tired workaholic culture in the history of the world. And even on those days when you actually do choose to let it go and to try to take a break and take a step away, isn't there still that still small voice in the back of your head that says, oh no, you're falling behind? I'm describing myself. Am I describing anybody else? Friends, no amount of vacation this summer can cure that kind of restlessness. No beach trip can cure that kind of restlessness. But there's something that can. And it's not your job title, and it's not what vacation you took, and it's not how well your product does in the market, and it's not how many followers or friends you have. It's not the amount of money you have in the bank. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, it's me. It's me. I'm the good shepherd. When you have me, he says, like there is nothing that you'll lack anymore. Like you will have everything that you need in me. You will lack nothing, and I will provide for you. I'll protect you, I'll lead you, and I'll guide you in the mountains and in the valleys, the peaks and the pits. I'm gonna be with you every step of the way, and I'm gonna fight for you. I'm gonna lead you, I'm gonna guide you. You'll have nothing to fear because I'm gonna be by your side fighting for you every step of the way. And then it's not just today, it's on into eternity. We're gonna be together side by side forever and ever and ever. And you're gonna be able to enjoy, I'm gonna be able to pour out my love and my grace and my blessings onto you. And you don't just get like a taste of it, like a sip of my blessing or a sip of my grace. Your cup will overflow. There's more than enough. It will never run out. Never. For eternity, you are going to be able to enjoy my grace and my love and my blessings. This is what I wanna offer to you. Just sit down. Let me take care of you. Rest. Be at peace. Are you experiencing that kind of rest today? Is that the kind of hope that you're living in today? Because if not, here's what I want to suggest. Perhaps we don't always experience and enjoy Jesus as our good shepherd like that. Because sometimes we forget that we're sheep. We can only experience Jesus as our shepherd if we're first willing to admit and embrace the reality that we are like sheep. You know that the Bible describes us as sheep 200 times. I don't think it's because we're cute and fluffy. And cuddly. I'm a little fluffy. I'll admit it. I don't think it was meant to be a compliment. There's all kinds of things he could have you know, described us as. There's all kinds of wild animals and that he could have used, right? There's wild horses, there's wild cats, there's wild dogs. You know there's no wild sheep? Sheep are too dim-witted and helpless to be wild. They go off on their own and be independent. They just die. They don't make it. I read this week about sheep that when sheep graze in an area, when the grass is all gone, unless somebody actually moves them over to the next patch of grass, the next area for grass, like they'll just stay right where they are and they'll eat each other's feces and die. That's what they do. They will eat poisonous plants unless somebody's there to stop them. They don't know any better. Okay? Sheep, I found out, can actually fall on their back like a turtle, legs up, and they can't get back over. And so unless somebody pushes them, they just lay there and die. I know, right? they're just absolutely, and they're helpless. Like most animals have some like defense mechanism when a predator comes. Sheep have no defense mechanism. They have no teeth, sharp teeth. They've got no sharp claws. They can't run fast. They can't fly. They can't turn camouflage when the threat comes. Like they have nothing. They are absolutely 100% dependent upon a shepherd. The shepherd does everything for the sheep. The shepherd protects them, provides for them, leads them, guides them. What do you think the Bible is trying to tell us? In John chapter 15, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. I don't know about you. There is something in my heart that really does not like that. There's something in my heart that just rejects, like rebels against that idea, that notion. I've been thinking about it a lot this week, and I think here's what I came to realize. I don't want a shepherd most of the time. I don't want to be completely out of control, dependent upon somebody else most of the time. You know what I want? Here's what I realized I wanted. I want a consultant on retainer. That's what I want. Like, I want somebody, when I'm in a bind, I want somebody that I can call in, help me get unstuck, and then I show them the door when we're done. Until the next time I need them. I'm just being honest. Like, that's typically what I want. And by the way, and the consultant has no real authority. Like, the leader has the authority, the consultant just gives the advice, and then the leader gets to determine whether or not they want to take that advice. But 200 times in the Bible, we are told that we are not leaders in need of a consultant. We are sheep in need of a shepherd. In most of the major areas of my life, I have some shepherding responsibilities, right? So here at Foster the Bay, I'm the executive director, so I kind of helped to shepherd that ministry. Prior to that, I was a campus pastor here at Echo Church, and so I kind of shepherded a campus, shout out South San Jose. prior to that, I was a pastor at a church as well. So like in my work in ministry, like I've had some shepherding responsibilities. When I go home, I have 4 children under the age of 11. I have a lot of shepherding responsibilities, okay? I realize that in most of the areas of my life, there's some leadership responsibilities, there's some shepherding responsibilities. Many of you, it's the exact same, right? There you've got influence, you're wielding influence in key areas of your life. Here's what I realized this week. The times when I've struggled the most as a shepherd to be the kind of shepherd that God has called me to be are the times when I've forgotten that I am first a sheep. Okay, so does that make sense? My biggest failures as a shepherd have stemmed from forgetting what it meant to live as a sheep. And I started to ask myself the question, like, what would it look like if I gave just as much energy and intentionality towards being led and cared for as I do trying to lead and care for others? What if I spent just as much energy learning what it meant to be a sheep as I do trying to be a shepherd? Does that make sense? Because the fact is, there are many of you listening today that you're striving so hard to be the greatest shepherd with the biggest flocks, the greatest CEOs, the greatest managers, the greatest parents, the greatest students, whatever it might be, you're trying to be the best, and it's just, I think what Jesus wants to tell you today is stop taking yourself so seriously. Sit down. Take a breath. There is one good shepherd. You're not him. Take a breath. Like, he's got it under control. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. Rest. Jesus gives us the peace to stop. But there's more than that. Jesus not only gives us the peace to stop, he also gives us the peace to start. The peace to start. I'm going to explain what I mean by that here. It's going to take me a couple minutes to get there, so bear with me. Look at verse 4 again. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, I do it again. Just read it in that cadence. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now look. I know that some of you today are not lounging in the green pastures and sipping the cool water. You are smack dab in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. I know some of your stories. I know that for some of you, this has been the hardest, the worst week of your life. You're right in the middle of the valley. And for those of you who are not in that place, you will be. Like, we're all one phone call away from our life getting flipped upside down. One phone call. And we all get that phone call at some point. I'm not trying to be morbid. That's reality. That's life. Right? The scriptures, actually, all throughout the scriptures, kind of assume that every one of us are going to walk through difficult, scary, overwhelming seasons. That's why, in fact, I think the Bible says, fear not, or don't be afraid, 365 times. One for every day of the year. Because there's an assumption throughout the scriptures that we're going to walk through difficult times. And some of you are there today. And it's really, really hard. And there are a few reasons why you might find yourself in the valley today. And one of the reasons is because something's happened to you. It's happened outside of your control. Something's happened. There's a sickness. There's somebody that's really close to you has passed. A spouse hurt you. Somebody's lost a job. There's something that's happening. And listen, like, I don't in any way want to minimize what you're walking through. I know that it was all that you could do was to get yourself out of bed and just get to one of our campuses today. I don't want to minimize anything you're walking through. But I do want to tell you one thing. If you're right there in the center of the valley of the shadow of death, I think God wants you to know this today. That you can make it. Hope is not gone. You can make it through this. Do you hear me? You can make it through this. And God wants to help you. You know how I know that? Why I can say that with confidence? Let me tell you where Psalm 23 came from. Psalm 23 was written by a guy named David. And David was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was a leader. He was a king. He was a guy who understood what it was like to have people like rely on him and depend on him. He was a guy who understood what it was like to live under pressure, what it was like to lead an organization. But more than that, David was a man who was deeply, deeply acquainted with sorrow. David knew what it was to be falsely accused, to have his reputation just dragged through the mud. David knew what it was like to live on the run. David knew what it was like to have his best friend killed. David knew what it was like to lose his wife, to have his wife run out on him. David knew what it was like to live in the shame of sin. David knew what it was like to have his kids run off and run astray. David knew what it was like to lose a child. He lost a baby. Like, I could just keep going over, like time and time and time and time and time again, David walked through the lowest of the valleys over and over and over again. And yet David still has the audacity to write here in Psalm 23, even when I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I have nothing to be afraid of. How could you say that? I have nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because you're with me. I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone. My shepherd is with me, and he didn't come empty-handed. He's got a staff. He's got a rod. They bring comfort to me. Let me tell you what the staff and the rod are. A staff is kind of typically what you think of with a shepherd, like the crook. The staff is what the shepherd would use to move the sheep forward through the valley, kind of nudge them forward and keep them on track, like to keep them so they don't stay in the valley. So David's able to say, You're here, and I know that you're committed to bringing me through this. Like, I know how dark this is and how low I'm feeling right now, but I know that this is not the end. I'm going to make it through this. This is not my final destination. You're committed to leading me through to the other side. He didn't just have a staff, though. He said, you also have a rod. Let me tell you what a rod is. A rod is about the height of the shepherd. It would have been hewn from the densest part of the tree trunk. So it's like rock solid, sturdy. And a good shepherd would have known how to wield a rod with some authority. So David actually goes on to say, he tells his story as a shepherd. He said that one time there was a lion that actually came and attacked my flock that I was shepherding when I was a young man. David was a shepherd. This lion came and attacked his flock. David said, I went after the lion and I rescued the sheep from his mouth and I used my rod and I struck him down and he died. David's saying, my shepherd defends me like that. I have a shepherd that does not run from battle. I have a shepherd that doesn't run from lions. I have a shepherd that fights for me. So friends, please hear me. Please listen, please lean in. At all of our campuses, please lean in and hear me when I say this. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to, if we could all just get this, if we could get this, it would change everything. Friends, the God of the universe, who spoke all of this into being, who spoke you forth from before the foundation of the world, each and every one of you, you were birthed in the heart of God before the foundation of the planet. The one who put all of this into motion, who holds the world in the palm of his hands. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. He's for you. He fights for you. He goes to battle for you. He's committed to leading you through it. That's the one that's on your side. You see, how can we not have rest from this? How can we not have rest when we understand that the God of the universe is your shepherd? He wants to care for you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to fight for you. But there's another reason why you might find yourself in the valley today. And it's not because of some great tragedy that's happened to you, but instead it's because you've chosen to wander there. You've chosen to leave the shepherd's side and kind of leave the fold and go out and go off and do your own thing. And you found yourself in a place that's pretty dark. And you're feeling lost and alone. And you don't know how to get home. And you don't know, even if the shepherd were to come find you, would he even want you back after all the things you've done and all the places that you've been? If that's you today, I want you to hear from the good shepherd how he would respond to you. Jesus tells us what his response to you is. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells us what the good shepherd does. He says that the good shepherd leaves the 99 that are safe in the fold, and he goes out in search of the one that's wandered away. And when he finds the lost sheep, what do you think he does? Do you think he is angry and yells and condemns the sheep? Do you think maybe he takes his whip out and just starts driving it back to the fold? Angry, frustrated that he had to go out and do this again? That's not what it, Luke 15, Jesus says the good shepherd goes out and he finds the lost sheep and he bends down and he picks up the sheep into his arms and he puts it on his back. He carries it on his shoulders. By his strength, the shepherd carries that sheep on its shoulders back to the fold. And he's not yelling and cursing and frustrated the whole time walking back. It says that he's carrying that sheep on his shoulders all the way back home, rejoicing. That's what Jesus says, rejoicing. And then he gets back home and he calls his buddies together and says, hey, we're having a party tonight. I found him. He's home. I'm throwing a party. If you're at a place where you feel like because of all of the things and all the same mistakes you've done over and over and over and over again has disqualified you, you're now out of the fold. The shepherd wouldn't want anything to do with me after all the things I've done. Please hear me. It would bring him great joy to welcome you back home. You have a shepherd who's ready to carry you home. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 1, where it says that God decided in advance to bring us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It would bring God great pleasure to welcome you home. But there's another reason why you might be in the valley. There's another reason why you might find yourself there. Not because of something that's happened to you or something, that, you know, it's a place you've wandered.
sometimes we find ourselves in the valley because that is exactly where God led us. Sometimes we find ourselves looking down into a valley in the Christian life, and the shepherd's next to us saying, that's where we're going. Come on. This is where I'm leading you. And we look down into the valley and we say, I don't want to go down there. That looks scary down there. It's dark down there. It's scary. Like, I could get hurt down there. I don't think that I really have what it takes to be down there. I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I've got what it takes. And the fact is, you're probably right, because you're a sheep. Okay? You're probably right. But don't you see, like, that's the point of this psalm. David didn't say, I don't fear any evil when I walk through the valley because, gosh, like, I'm pretty disciplined. I am pretty strong and I'm pretty smart and I know the scriptures really well. I'll be all right. That's not what he says. He says, though I walk through the valleys, I am not afraid. I have no fear. Why? Because I'm not alone. When God calls you into the valley, you don't go in alone. When we rest in God, we can risk for God. I told you it took me a while to get there, but Jesus not only gives us the peace to stop, he also gives us the peace to start. When we rest in God, we can risk for God. I was at a conference with some of our team members last month, and it was a conference where organizations from around the world came together that are involved in foster care and adoption and so on. And there was an organization there called Show Hope. And Show Hope was started by a guy named Stephen Curtis Chapman, who was like a Christian rock star when I was a kid, whatever that means. Show Hope like helps orphans around the world. And I was really fascinated when I learned recently how Show Hope actually got its start. So Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife had a little girl named Emily. And when Emily was 11 years old, she began to learn about the plight of orphans around the world. And she one day went to her parents and said, gosh, like, after all I've learned, like, I really think that we need to do something about this. I really think we need to get involved in some way. I think that we should consider adopting an orphan. And as you can imagine, her parents said, oh, honey, that is so sweet. You know, that's not us. Like, that's a bit, you know, I don't think we have the capacity for something like that. It's a bit overwhelming. We're not going to do that, but that's really sweet that you thought of that. Okay, but little Emily wasn't deterred. So at the age of 11 years old, Emily sat down and wrote a letter to her parents. And she said, Mom and Dad, I think that you might be resisting the will of God right now. She said, you know, this is in the Bible. Like, I think that you might be living in sin right now. And she said, you know, look at all that God has done for us. Look at all that God has provided for our family. Don't you think that he wants us to share this with someone in need? Should I really think that you should reconsider whether or not we should adopt an orphan? And then she had her two little brothers sign the bottom of it. And they gave it to their parents. And the rest is history. Because they did. They went on to adopt an orphan, and then another one, and then another one. And then they started this organization called Show Hope, and now thousands of lives have been impacted. All because one 11-year-old little girl was able to see past fear and see past perceived capacity. Okay, when Jesus not only gives us the peace to stop, he gives us the peace to start. If we rest in God, we can risk for God. We have this conversation all the time with families that are interested in foster care. We have this conversation. We sit them down and we say, like, hey, we think this is the great that you're interested in this. It's a beautiful reflection of the gospel, the way to be able to show God's love to someone else, the way that God's shown that to us. We think that's awesome. There's a couple things that you should know stepping into this. For one thing, sometimes kids in foster care, every kid in foster care has experienced trauma, but sometimes in their pain and confusion, sometimes a child will act out of that trauma. And it's going to bring some additional challenges in the home. So more than that, though, something else often happens. Oftentimes when a child comes into your home, you fall in love with them. You're caring for them for months or years, and you're pouring your heart and your life into them. And so during that time, like, they can just become a part of your family, become a son or a daughter to you. And after you've really grown attached to them, they become a part of your family. Oftentimes you'll get a phone call and they'll get picked up and they'll go back home and you'll never see them again. And that really hurts. It rips your heart out. That's happened to us before. It sucks. We're caring right now for a little girl. We've had her for 2.5 years. We got her when she was 2 months old. It's like we're all she knows as a family right now. We are madly in love with this little girl. And it just continues to deepen each and every day. We love this little girl. And we're what she knows. She calls me, she doesn't call me daddy, she calls me my daddy. she said, thanks, my daddy. We just love this little girl. And she's becoming more and more a part of our family. But we live in this very real, like, reality that at any point, we could get a phone call. In fact, whenever I get phone calls from Santa Clara County, the agency, like, my heart drops, my heart sinks. Because at any point, we could get a phone call to say, okay, it's time that she moves on. And so we tell the families that step into this, we say, listen, you're voluntarily choosing, you're choosing to start a journey that's going to most likely end up in heartbreak. Do you realize that? Like, you're choosing to take a journey towards sorrow. You're choosing to step down into the valley. And the only way that I can ever look somebody in the eye and ask them to consider that is because I know that this is true. That we have a shepherd that goes into the valley with us. He's got a staff and a rod who's going to lead us through the difficult days. He's going to fight for us along the way. We can do hard things for God because we do hard things with God. I'm completely out of time. And I still have another point. For all of you OCD people it would drive you crazy to not have the third little outline finished, let me just tell you what the last one is, okay? And then I'll kind of wrap it up. Jesus gives us one more promise, and it's in verse 6. He says here in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so Jesus not only gives us peace peace to stop, he not only gives us peace to start, Jesus also gives us peace about the end. And here's what I mean by that. Just as we close, across all of our campuses, would you just put your pens down? Would you put your phones down? Would everybody just take a moment just to kind of lean in? Across all of our campuses, I know this is a little bit weird, but would you just take a second, would you look around the room? Would you look at the people in front of you, the people behind you, the people to the side of you? Look around. Actually look at the people. I know it's weird, but just look at them. All right, that's enough. Now it's getting weird now, so just that's good. Listen, please hear me. For those of you that have said yes to Jesus and you've entered into the family of God, 100 years from now, we're still going to be together. Talking and singing about the greatness of our shepherd. 200 years from now, we're still going to be together. Singing and enjoying, laughing together. Enjoying the presence of God, the house of the Lord that he's talking about. That's where the presence of God was. 500 years from now, we're still going to be together. Enjoying the blessings and the grace and the beauty and the majesty and the glory of God. That's your future. If you place your faith in Jesus, that's your future. Listen. I know that, like, what's happening right now feels so real and so overwhelming, but no matter what you're walking through today, that's your future. That's what you have to look forward to. David's able to say, like, I know that how dark the valley seems right now, but more than that, I know how bright my future is. That's your future, and nothing can change that. Nothing will change your future. When we remember what's around the corner, That no matter what seems so overwhelming right now, that nothing's gonna change our final destination, where we're going to be together forever enjoying our God. Doesn't it just give you a little bit more peace about what's going on today? Does this give you a little bit more joy? Nothing can change your future. Part of the reason why you're so stressed out, you're overwhelmed, is you're concerned about what's to come. If I just let up, if I slow down, if I make a mistake, everything's gonna fall apart. That's your future. Nothing will change it. You can't mess that up. You know how I know that? You know how I know that the work is done? Because 2,000 years ago, our good shepherd became a lamb. And he was led to the slaughter. And he hung on the cross. And all of my mistakes and all of my failures, all of my sin was placed on his shoulders, and he bore it. And he took the punishment that belonged to me because of all of my mistakes and all of your mistakes. And he paid it in full. And now there's nothing separating me from God anymore. And as he hung on the cross, the last words that he said were, "It is finished. The work is done." That's why we can rest, because the battle is over. And now we have this future to look forward to. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for every person across every campus, across those who are on, those who are watching this online. God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts. Help us to believe Psalm 23. Help us to understand, God, that you've given us the ability to rest and to stop stressing out about life. These things that seem so real and overwhelming at the time, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us peace. Give us the ability to rest in you, our good shepherd. God, help us to understand that we can follow you wherever you might lead us, God, because we can do hard things for you, because we do hard things with you. God, I pray for those right now specifically across all of our campuses that are walking in the valley of the shadow of death right now. There's sickness, there's something deep, there's pain. God, I pray right now that they would sense your spirit with them, your presence with them. God, you would give them comfort and peace today. Help them to rest in you. God, remind us of what's to come. Each and every day, God, would you set our sights on what's ahead? We love you. We thank you. I pray, God, for those who have yet to enter into your fold, those who have yet to say yes to the free gift that you're offering to us, God, to become a part of your family, to be able to enter into this rest. I pray that right now, God, that you would be stirring in their hearts and that they would, in their own words, say yes to you, that they would not leave the room that they're sitting in today without saying yes to you first. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.